In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This sermon is based on two of our scriptures. First, from Genesis 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And then from Matthew 4, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, amen. Let's get right to the point. What is it that we learn this morning from our scripture readings? You probably see, diets have always been hard to keep. Even when Adam and Eve are given everything, just one fruit they're told they can't eat. What are they drawn to? That one fruit. Diets are always impossible, aren't they? God is concerned, obviously, with far more important things than your diet. He teaches us far more important things in his scriptures than what you should or shouldn't eat. What he is teaching us this morning is that it is his will that your faith be challenged, be tested. God himself will test you. He's done so from the beginning. Really? This is what we see in the scriptures. If God did not want to challenge and test Adam and Eve, test their faith, he would not have put a tree in the garden and commanded them not to eat from it. And yet he did. He would not have allowed the devil to assume an innocent form, come to them hidden as a serpent, and tempt them. And yet he allowed it. And Jesus, the true man, the second Adam, he would not have been led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, we are told, to be tempted by the devil. And so you see, it is God's will that faith, your faith, be tested, be challenged. Now perhaps this makes you wonder, well, gee, what kind of a God is he that he allows and even wants my faith to be challenged? Well, if you focus on all that he does for you, all that he freely gives to you, well, you will see that he is good, a good father, and you will rejoice in him. Adam and Eve, God put them in a garden of great beauty, great abundance, great variety, and all of it was theirs. They had so much to see, to taste, to enjoy, to gladden the heart. And all of it was gift to them. Gift from a God who is good. If they had just focused on that, they would only have seen God as good, as himself full of joy, a loving father. Focus on God's good gifts, on all the good that he does for you. And even then, when he tests you, you'll believe that Well, he's a good God. He certainly must have good in mind for me. But if you fix your eyes and your heart on what you do not have, on what has been forbidden to you, well, then God is going to appear to be very different. And that is precisely why the devil drew Adam and Eve's attention to the fruit that they had been forbidden to eat. Did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden"? No, he didn't actually say that. And that's what Eve tells him. But with the word "actually," the devil raises doubt. Did God actually say? Did he really say that? Why wouldn't he want you to have something that is so obviously good, that will in fact make you better, make you like God? Unlike God, who tests you only to lead you to rely upon him more and more, the devil, he simply desires to weaken your faith, to focus you on yourself, and finally, his desire is to snuff out your faith and lead you to hell. And he is a skilled deceiver. He works to draw your attention to things that you shouldn't have, to things that are bad for you, forbidden to you. And he would have them not only before your eyes, he would put them in your mind constantly, have them in your heart. Now, we are not like Adam and Eve. Since their fall into sin, sin and death now afflict us all. We are born under their power. And so the desire to satisfy ourselves, to rule ourselves, well, it fills our hearts right from the beginning. And so the devil, well, he can often tempt us with things that are obviously bad. Oh, like pornography, for instance. And he has great success with these things. But he also tempts us with things that are good, things that are God's, even his holy word. He quoted scripture to Jesus to use it against him. Do you think he's not going to do that to you? Use God's word, but the way that you want, to support your desires. That is what the devil whispers into your ear. If God's word challenges you, if it makes you uncomfortable, well, find a different meaning to it. And so to Eve, he says, if you eat, you're not going to die. You will be like God. And why would he not want that? To Jesus, he says, if you are the Son of God, as your father said just a few days ago when you were baptized, how come you're here in the wilderness and are starving? What kind of a father would lead his son into a barren wilderness? Look, you can make these stones into bread, can't you? Why don't you do so and take care of yourself and show who you really are? You see how the devil uses even God's good gifts, even his holy word, he twists them. And so he tempts you with them. When you hear God's word, when you read it yourself, don't ever let the devil or anyone else, he works through many, make you doubt that your God is good and is good in what he says. And you won't doubt if you hold to the plain and simple meaning of God's words. Then you will truly know God. You will see his goodness. For you see, ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, God now has to hide himself. He doesn't appear to us visibly. Except, of course, for when God came in the flesh and Jesus lived among us. But even then, God was hidden. Jesus wasn't showing himself to be the Son of God. There were occasional times when his glory would show forth, when he did a miracle, for instance. But most of his life, Jesus lived as a normal human being. He hid his glory. And he accepted that this was God's will for his life. It is written, he said to Satan, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It was true for him also then, he said to the devil. And so he did not turn stones into bread. The Son of God himself followed what the scriptures say. He didn't listen to a different voice. Not even a voice in his own mind or heart which would say anything different. Now, if Jesus, who is himself holy, if he did not listen to any other voice, you must not do so either. Beware especially the hidden voice of your mind, your heart, that tells you how you should feel about things. Listen to God's simple words in the scriptures. Believe them. Any other voice is the whisper of the devil. With God's words, you have the Lord of life himself with you, and he will save you. We see this today, right at the beginning of the Bible. Our God's not an easy God. He's not an always gentle father. No, he tests his people. But how different he is in this from the devil, the tempter. See how your Lord stands with his people. First of all, he gives to Adam and Eve everything. All of creation is theirs. And theirs to use. Only one thing is withheld, that one tree, its fruit. His gifts to them were incredible in their abundance. And they are to you also. What God has made is yours. Just open your eyes and see the many blessings he gives you. But even when Adam and Eve disobeyed, and then ran from him, wanted nothing to do with him. Still, he sought them out. Here is mercy. When he found them, he gave them the opportunity to repent, to confess their sins. His anger, his sorrow at what they had done, it gave way to mercy. This is our God. And even when Adam made things worse, blaming God himself, well, it was the woman, and you gave her to me. Even when he blames God, God doesn't respond to him, doesn't crush him in his anger. Instead, ultimately, he promises he will send to them a Savior, one born of the woman, who will crush their enemy, the devil, under his feet and deliver them. And he kept that promise. He sent his only begotten Son to us as one of us, in Jesus, the new Adam. We have the victory over the devil. We have the confirmation of the truth and the goodness of God's holy word. Our Father, he is such a kind and good and merciful Father. Keep this foremost in your mind, in your heart. And then when hardships do come, when you're tested in your faith, you will stand. God will hold you up. He will give you the victory. He will, because his love is never ending. And it is all yours in Jesus. In Jesus, who knows your life, who knows your temptations, because he lived as you do in this world, under the will of God, tested by God, and opposed by the devil. God's love and victory is yours in Jesus, who was tempted as you are, and yet overcame with the very same word of God that you have. Actually, you have more than Jesus had. He had only the Old Testament. We have the complete record of the fulfillment of God's promise, the coming of his Son, who lived for us and fulfilled all of God's will perfectly as we cannot, who offered his life for us on the cross to pay for our sins, which we hope to never do. He has forgiven us. He rose from the dead, bringing forth a new life for us. He ascended into heaven and rules over all things for our good. This message of Jesus, the fulfillment of all things, will not fail you. It will give you the victory over the devil, no matter what his temptation. It will strengthen you and assure you of God's love, even when God tests you. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written that we might learn them. Grant that we may so then hear them, read them, mark them, learn, take them to heart, so that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we might stand in every trial and temptation, be united to Christ and formed in him, and so be brought to everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.